Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think, unto him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. Amen. What a great doxology for my first sermon of 2022 for the new year. Let me introduce myself. My name is Tyler Young. I'm filling in for Paul today. Appreciate him letting me have an opportunity. Thank you to Paul and to others who filled in for me in class and in the pulpit in recent weeks. I appreciate that very much, and I'm thankful to be able to be getting back into the swing of things. Kim's in Virginia, and Lord willing, she'll be flying home tomorrow. They didn't have worship services there today because they had a couple inches of snow, and that's a part of the country where that sort of cripples things for a day or two where they're not used to it. I'm from Buffalo, so I scoff at that kind of thing. But think of that doxology, just a couple of things before I get into the sermon, since these were thoughts I was going to share on the first Sunday of the new year, and here it is several weeks later, but I hope they're still relevant. But to think that Paul there is talking about God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, and I think I left this next phrase out, according to the power that works in us. So to think about God's power, the power by which he raised Jesus from the dead, Ephesians 1, 20 and 21. That same power, Paul said, works in us, and he's able to do great things through us if we trust him, if we obey him. And so I hope that we'll commit ourselves to that in this coming year, and that God will be able to work great things in us here, in his family here at League City. When we look back over the past year, we've lost some who've gone on to be with the Lord. And if not members of this congregation, also some of us have lost family members who have gone on. And we've had new births, both physical and spiritual. And we look at this next year, if the Lord tarries, if Jesus doesn't return in 2022, he could return this hour, he could return today, or it might not be for another 10,000 or 10,000s of 10,000s of years. We don't know when it will be. But if he doesn't return in this coming year, then most likely some of us will go on to be with the Lord in the next 12 months. And hopefully we will have new births into Christ and be bringing new souls to meet him. So it's interesting to look back and then to look ahead and to think about God's work in us and where we are in relationship to him and where we need to be individually and as a church. But whatever God's will is, whatever is going to come for any of us in this coming year, this we know, that each day is bringing us one step closer to glory. And how thankful we are God's working out his purpose in us, and will continue to do so. Now, I want to give a charge to Jonathan. We rejoice that we have a new brother in Christ. I see you there, brother. And I know Sean mentioned this from the pulpit I saw in the stream last week, I think it was. But it's been a couple of weeks, but this is my first chance to say to you, dear brother, on behalf of your brothers and sisters here in the League City Church of Christ, our prayer for you, Jonathan, is that you will love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your strength, and that you'll serve him in truth with all of your heart all the days of your life, that you'll faithfully follow Christ and boldly stand in his truth. And our prayer for you is that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, with all patience and endurance and joy. That's our prayer for you. We want you to help us, Jonathan, to go to heaven. And we want to help you, and we appreciate you. And we want to help you and your family and all of us to walk faithfully before our God and serve him faithfully and all head to heaven together. So we're so thankful for you, brother. I'm glad that we can give you that charge. And that's basically from Matthew 22:37-39. I don't word it exactly the same every time, but basically I'm taking those thoughts from Colossians 1:9-11, from 1 Samuel and Deuteronomy 6 and a couple of other places, and sort of cobbling together that charge. But so it's very exciting, and may the Lord bless us with more opportunities to bring more into the kingdom. All right, so let's transition now into the lesson. And I can do that by asking you how your New Year's resolutions are going. Do you make resolutions? Do you break resolutions, right? I mean, you know, the gym has already started to die down after the first of the year. It's insane for a few days. But, you know, it's hard for people to follow through on resolutions. I want you to know I'm doing great on my resolution to eat more blueberry Pop-Tarts and baked Cheetos. I'm just committed to it, and it's working so far for me this year. So I don't know what you thought about that you wanted to change or do better in the coming year. But this relates to that. What I'm going to talk about would have made a little more sense on the first Sunday of the new year, right after New Year's Day, that first Sunday. But I think it still works. I think it still makes sense now. So as we think about all of the effort to embrace a new product or try something new, a lot of times in advertising, an appeal will be made to try some product, to try something for a period of time, and that we're encouraged to do it because we're told there's no risk, because if you're not totally satisfied, you can return the product and get a full refund. And so a lot of times we'll see a seal like this on a product, or we'll hear it in an ad. You'll see it in an infomercial for something that, look, there's no risk here because you can try it for 30 days, and if you're not totally satisfied, you can return it. Of course, minus shipping and handling, usually some along the line that line. But so you get this period of time to try it. And of course, the whole idea is if we can just get you to try it, if we can just get you to, okay, all right, I guess I could try it for 30 days. And the whole idea is then you'll see that you like it and that you want it and you'll keep it and you'll continue to use the product, or you'll follow through with it. You know, as I was looking for images of a seal like this, I was surprised to see how many different 30-day challenges there are. There are all kinds of them. There are whole lists of 30-day challenges. So this is a thing with a lot of people, and especially at the new year, to say, okay, try this over the next month, over the next 30 days. Well, that's what I'm doing with you this morning in this lesson. This is what I want to do for each of us in the church here. I want to set before us a 30-day challenge. Let me call this Take the 30-Day Challenge. Write that down at the top of your notes. Put it there at the top of the page. See it in your mind. Take the 30-day challenge. I'm going to list a number of things here that I want to encourage everyone to seriously consider doing over the next 30 days. Now, of course, these are things, the things we're going to look at are things we should always do. But maybe we're not doing them like we should, or maybe we want to do better in these things. But sometimes it can be rather daunting to say, okay, now it's the new year. I'm going to make this change from here on out. This is what I'm going to do every day. That can be a bit daunting. And then that's where it's easy to sort of fail to follow through, because after a while, we maybe stumble along the way and so then we just give up. But if we could just say, but look, I can do this for 30 days. I know I can do that. So this is what I'm trying to do. And it would have been nice if it fit, you know, the month of January nicely, but It doesn't matter when you start it. We can start it now. I hope this will be encouraging. And I really, this isn't the typical kind of sermon that I do. It's a little bit different. I did something like this a few years ago as a sermon to begin the new year. And as I recall, there were some people that I had some really good feedback on it, and people seemed to like it. So I thought, well, maybe I should do something similar to that, something really practical where I give some very specific, concrete things for us to try. And that's what this is about. So, all right, let's go. Let me list these things here. So for the next 30 days, and so each one, we're going to have an adverb modifying a verb here each with each one. First of all, read Scripture daily. So we know the importance of being students of God's Word, of knowing the Scriptures and putting the Word of God in our hearts. And we can multiply passage after passage on all of these points. I'm just going to list one or two key verses here for your consideration to support each point. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, Colossians 3:16. So we've got to put it in us, and then to let it dwell there is the idea to let it reign, let it rule, let it guide, let it shape us. And the Psalms, Psalm 119, that great psalm exalting the Word of God, the psalmist says, I stored up your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's important to put God's Word in our hearts and in our minds, to meditate on it. Psalm 1:2, the blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now, what I'm saying here when I say, well, let's read Scripture daily. If you set out in the new year to begin a Bible reading plan, like a lot of people do, say, I'm going to read through the whole Bible this year. So you have a daily Bible reading schedule. There are lots of them. Some churches make them available to the members. You can go online. You might have one in your Bible somewhere. And a lot of times what happens is we start out and then we can fall behind because something interrupts our good intentions. And then after a while we get so far behind and then we give up and drop the Bible, the daily Bible reading program. Or maybe you say, well, I'm going to read through the whole Old Testament this year, the whole New Testament. I'm going to read this many chapters a day. But see, what I want to suggest to you is small goal so that we can be sure to meet it every single day for 30 days straight. For example, let me encourage you, take a single passage. I've done this with many texts. For example, Psalm 16. I've taken Psalm 16 and read that text and prayed about it every single day. That same chapter, that same psalm, every single day for sometimes months on end. And then I'll switch to another text. In addition to whatever other Bible study that I'm doing, that one text, think of a chapter. Work your way through a chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, the next day Matthew 6, the next day Matthew 7, then go back to Matthew 5. It doesn't have to be, okay, over the next 30 days, I'm going to read through all of Paul's letters, or the next 30 days, I'm going to read all the Gospels, or I'm going to read all of John. If you've never done that before, I think that will bless you, and I think it will be a good change for you to think of a single verse, single passage, and you're going to make sure you're going to read that every single day. You know, by the time 30 days are up, you'll almost have it memorized, and it will become a part of you. And so pick a text, a favorite text. I especially like to do this with the Psalms. And for every single day over the next 30 days, you're going to read that text, and then you're going to say a prayer about it and ask God to help you understand it and apply it in your life. Okay, for the next 30 days, pray. I know we all struggle being consistent in our prayer lives. But let's pray consistently. Now, here again, we know again and again, Scripture talks about the importance of prayer. Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer. Here we can multiply text after text. We all know the importance of prayer, but sometimes we struggle. And I'll tell you why I struggle being consistent in prayer, is because I'm kind of an all or nothing guy, as you know from my classes and in my preaching, I want to do a whole series. I want to treat it thoroughly and do it well or not do it at all. And so a lot of times I have so much I want to pray about, and I think I'm tired maybe near the end of the day, and I didn't set aside a few minutes like I wish I had. And then I think, well, there's so much I need to pray for, and there's so many people I need to pray for, or so much I want to give thanks for and ask God about. And I'll do it tomorrow, and so I miss a day. Because I want to do it all or not at all. But just even to set aside a brief time for prayer, what I did with my kids when they were little and they were at home, I said, before you get out of bed every day, you can say a prayer, a simple prayer. Give thanks to God for something. Pray for someone you know who needs prayer. And then ask God to help you with something for this day. And so I encourage them to do that on their own and develop that discipline on their own so that before their feet ever hit the floor, they've already spent a moment in prayer. But for the next 30 days, I think we can all do that. And see, of course, the idea is just with these 30-day challenges to buy a product, to try a program, the idea is if you can do it, and we all can for 30 days, it becomes a habit, and then you continue to do it. Right? So we're not saying we'll pray for 30 days and then after that don't pray anymore. Of course, you know what I mean. So for the next 30 days, now this is an interesting one to think about. Think positively. Let's be careful how we think. And here's another one of my resolutions for this year is to make sure I have at least one typo in every PowerPoint presentation that I do. This is Philippians 4:8. I took the slide that said Colossians 4:2 and I copied it and then I put the text in here and I forgot to change the verse. It's Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and of good report, if there's anything virtuous, anything worthy of praise, think on these things. It's important. There's so much negativity, especially in social media, in the media in general. And it can be easy to fall into pessimism and negative thoughts. But let's think about for the next, when we're tempted to be critical of the elders, of the preacher, of the church, or something we're not happy with, we can stop ourselves. Ah, wait a minute, I'm on the 30-day challenge. Instead of criticizing, I'm going to compliment. Or instead of tearing down, I'm going to build up. Instead of saying something negative, I'm going to stop that and I'm going to nip it in the bud and I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to think something positive. Before I say something negative, now I don't think it's wrong to be critical of each other and to express it at times. But for 30 days, what if all of us for 30 days determine, whenever some critical thought or something unhealthy or negative comes into my mind, I'm going to suppress that and I'm not going to give voice to it. I'm going to hold my tongue. See, our thinking shapes our living. And what if for 30 days none of us said anything critical that wasn't essential? That's a challenge worth taking, I think. For the next 30 days, give sacrificially. Now, here I mean, we can give in any number of ways, but I'm talking about when we set aside our money to put into the collection for the work of the church. And here again, many passages talk about the importance of stewardship of our, not just our money, but certainly including our money and our resources. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, in that great context, 2 Corinthians 8:9, when Paul talks about generosity and giving, and he talks about giving as we've decided in our hearts, each one as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, here it is, the beginning of a new year. We've reached record inflation. We know our money doesn't go as far, but that's true with the money that the church takes in. And the church's dollar doesn't go as far. And we still have financial obligations and bills to pay and work that must go on. And so just like we want our employers to increase our salary, and especially since our dollar doesn't go as far right now, well, the church needs that from us as well, too. If you haven't increased your giving recently, if you think, well, I can't afford to increase my giving. Oh, I'm maxed out. I'm barely making it, paycheck to paycheck. I'm living hand to mouth. For 30 days over the next month, for each Lord's Day, Is there some increase you can make in your giving? Because if you do commit to doing that, even just for 30 days, I think we'll see. We'll be able to continue to do it even beyond that. But surely for 30 days, each of us can increase his giving. And I want to challenge each of us to do just that. For the next 30 days, attend consistently. Now here, of course, I don't mean those who are not able to be present because they simply cannot be here for whatever health issues or personal issues that perhaps are between those people and the Lord. But I mean those of you who could be present and you're kind of hit and miss. You might be here today, but maybe not next Sunday. Or maybe you're not coming to Bible class. Now's the time. For the next month, for the next 30 days, what if you haven't been coming to class, what if you came just an hour earlier and you were here for every Sunday morning Bible class? What if you came, even if it's difficult for you maybe because of work or other things, but just for 30 days, just over the next four Wednesdays, if you made it a point to make sure you're here for Bible class, make sure your kids get here to Sunday morning Bible class, to Wednesday night Bible class, to make every service over the next 30 days. What if everyone in this congregation who was able to do so for the next 30 days attended every scheduled service of the church? Wow! You think that would make a difference? Well, I know it would for those attending, those making the effort, and surely it would for the whole church. And of all the passages we could bring to mind about the importance of this, notice how in Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, this is linked to our faithfulness. Hold fast, holding fast our confession. We confess Christ. Now, how you hold fast to that without wavering? Well, he says, we're to do that because he is faithful who promised. Consider one another to stir up to love and good works. See, this is a matter of recognizing we have an obligation to each other, to encourage each other. And that's why he says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. See, if that's been your habit, if you haven't been consistent, for 30 days, can you consistently attend every service of the church? I think it'll change your family. It'll change your whole spiritual discipline. Psalm 29, verse 2, realize, too, it's not just a matter of what we owe to each other and what we need from each other, but what we owe to God, that worship is a matter of giving God the glory that is due His name, Psalm 29 and verse 2. We owe it to God to worship Him. Now, I'm just going to mention these last couple very briefly. But for the next 30 days, to teach opportunistically, we know we're to be evangelistically minded, that the mission that Christ gave in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, originally to the disciples, to the apostles, but we know that continues to the end of the age, to make disciples, to bring people to know God, to know His will. Well, over the next 30 days, what if you picked a person you're going to pray for every single day, and at the end of 30 days, you're going to reach out to that person and invite them to Bible class or invite them to a church service, offer to have a Bible study with that person. For the next 30 days, post something in social media to tell somebody something about your faith and about the church, and ask anyone who might be reading, anyone who might be interested, that you'd be glad to help them with any questions they have about God and about His plan for their salvation. Simple things, especially with social media, especially with texting now. We can pray for somebody. We can pick someone to pray for and focus on, each and every one of us. And pray each day for that person and then send a text. I mean, how easy is that? To say, hey, I just want you to know I've been praying for you, and if you have any questions, I'd be glad to help you in your walk with God and to know the Lord, or however you want to say it. But to be looking for those opportunities, to be conscious of it, to be intentional, and to be thinking of someone specifically over in the days ahead. And then let's add, too, for the next 30 days, to worship conscientiously. That is, not just to show up and to sit in the pew and sort of go through the motions. It's easy to fall into that. It's hard to be as focused, as intent every time that we're singing, every time that we're praying. It's easy to be distracted. It's easy to have a lot of things weighing on our minds and that pull us away. I like the things that Bo was talking about in preparing our minds for the supper, where the idea of being focused on and anticipating what we're doing in worship. Because we don't want to just worship. We want to bless God. The psalmist said, Psalm 103:1, with all that is within me. I really struggle. I mean, I try to bless the name of the Lord, but do I do it with all that is within me? Do I do it with everything I have? Well, for the next 30 days, every time we worship, let me give you a challenge to before Sunday morning worship, to spend a moment in prayer or read a praise psalm, like Psalm 100, a simple passage. Before you come, take a moment to quietly meditate and to prepare your mind to enter into worship, to be intentional about being joyful, to recognize Psalm 102 that in worship we're coming into the presence of God, to have a heightened awareness of God's presence among us as we worship Him, to really make an effort to do that for each worship service over the next 30 days, to be conscious about it now, you see, and say, okay, I'm going to take that challenge. I'm really going to, you can listen, you pull up YouTube on a Sunday morning and listen to some praise hymns, even one. As I mentioned earlier with Scripture, sometimes I listen to the same one many times, daily or each week or over and over. In Christ Alone, I listened to this morning, and there's a great a cappella version of that on YouTube. But we have so many resources, things that you can listen to it in the car on the way here, or just before you leave the house, or while you're sipping your coffee, and just be deliberate about preparing the heart to come into the presence of God and think of how that can transform our worship and make it the experience individually and collectively that God would have it to be. Well, I hope these things challenge us. I'm going to take this 30-day challenge, and I hope you will, and I hope whatever your plan is, that all of us are seeking to grow, 2 Peter 1:5-11, to serve God more fully, to worship Him more devoutly, to obey Him more completely in this coming year than we ever have before, and to know that if we do, to think that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that power that works in us. Oh, what great things God can have in store for us if we rise to the challenge. Now, the most important challenge you face right now is making sure your soul, that you're right with God, and because of Christ, because of His suffering, because of His sacrifice, because of the love of God and giving His Son, you can be saved from the wrath of God in Him. If you'll respond to the gospel, you can be delivered. 1 Thessalonians 1:9-10. Jesus delivered us from the wrath to come. But we need to respond to the gospel as He's appointed. And if you need help in doing that, we want to help you to do that. But let's all leave here headed for heaven, glorifying God and trusting in Him. Let's stand and let's sing together.